Because today we're going to talk about money, and that sounds fun, right? Woo! Yeah! So let's dive right in, shall we? This is one of the famous things that Jesus wrote. So this is something that both Matthew and Luke recorded that Jesus said. So we're going to be starting with Matthew. It's in Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13, and it says this: "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, some translations, and I know the King James is one of them, instead of the word money, you know what word it uses? Mammon. And do you know why it uses the word mammon? Well, when Jesus was doing his thing and speaking, he used a language called Aramaic. So it's like a dialect of Hebrew, but they were speaking Aramaic. So he did his teaching in Aramaic. And then when people were writing down the Gospels, they wrote it in a different language, Koine Greek. And so the Gospel writers like Matthew and Luke, they would take their memories of Jesus' sermons and then they'd write them down in Greek, the stuff they'd heard him say in Aramaic. So they were translating. However, when they were writing this verse, they decided to let the Aramaic word stand. And that Aramaic word is mammon. So if you were to read the Greek New Testament, there would be that one kind of weird Aramaic word in there, mammon. What is mammon? It's money. It's wealth, it's possessions, that's what it conveys. So money is a fair translation of that. But one of the things that's really interesting to me is that learning about the word mammon in Aramaic, it's very much related to another word. It comes from another word, and that word is, drum roll, trustworthy. You cannot serve both God and trustworthy money. But I think that's a fascinating idea, is that when they were coming up with words, they used money and trustworthy. I mean, we do that in English in our culture. There's trust that people have, financial trust. There's securities and exchange. So that word makes a lot of sense to me. As we think about it, I want to kind of shift. And I want to, because like I get this, like trusting, like to me, I think if I just had enough money, I wouldn't have to worry about anything else, you know, like, because you can buy what you need. If your car breaks, something happens, like, you could just buy kind of those things that you need. But Jesus told this really interesting parable about a farmer. You like farmer ones, Dan? And the farmer was sowing his seed. He was spreading his seed on the ground. And Jesus talked about four different types of, or the seed was all the same, but there are four different scenarios. So the first seed, it went onto the ground, and immediately the birds came and they took it away and did nothing. The second seed, it went into rocky ground, so the soil was shallow. So when it started, the first seed didn't germinate at all, but the second seed, as it started, its roots couldn't really grow. So because of that, it couldn't get enough water, because roots play in like absorbing water. And so the sun just absorbed it and scorched it, and it died. The third seed, it was planted, and it grew up among thorns. And so as the plant grew, the thorns choked it out and killed it. And then the fourth seed, it was in good soil. And in the good soil, it grew, and it came to fruit, and it even came to multiply. And Jesus was explaining what the metaphor, the seed represents the word of God, and the soil represents people and different levels of receptivity to what God has to say, because not all people are equally receptive to the message, to the word of God. And so I wanted to look specifically about how he explains the seed that grows but gets choked out by the thorns, because this is fascinating to me. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. How many of you worry about money? All of us, right? Everybody. I mean, the worries of life is a human experience. Pastor Brandon talked about that a couple years ago. I was thrilled to hear Pastor Brandon worries. Like, he seems so chill to me all the time. I'm like, you worry too? Oh, good. I'm in good company. If Brandon worries, maybe it's okay that I worry about it too. But it is so normal to have these worries about money. I'm guessing probably pretty close to 100% of us have these kind of worries. And Jesus isn't saying, shame on you if you worry about money, because that's just part of the human experience. But he is observing that there's something about worries of life where there is the potential that they can get so strong in our lives that they can consume us, or they can choke out God's word from us. And then he uses his description of wealth is fascinating, because Jesus says that wealth is deceitful. And that's, again, so do you remember the mammon, what that word comes from? What was it? Anybody remember? Trustworthy. Very good, Thomas. You're ready for school this year? Yeah. Yeah. You too, Rory. Well done. You guys are smart. We got some smart young ones. But he's saying maybe it's not so trustworthy. That wealth can be, something about can be deceitful. And people maybe like me, who can put trust in having enough money, maybe we need to rethink that. So again, this is not a feel guilty if you have anxieties about stuff, because if you feel guilty, you'll just continue to have anxiety and worry and spiral. So this is not, I don't think Jesus said it to produce guilt, but it's just to acknowledge like our human propensity for worries of life to be a part of it. And a lot of it's tied to economics and money and wealth and possessions. Those things can be very stressful to all of us and potentially can consume us. I don't know about you, but I've heard this expression before. Tell me if you've heard this one. Probably by somebody who had more money than I do, I'm guessing. But they say, mo' money, mo' problems. Have you ever heard that one? Mo' money, more problems. I would like Pastor Brandon too, I would like to experiment, because I tend to think mo' money, no problems. Like that one, oh yeah, if I just had enough money, I could take care of all these problems, no problems. So I'm up for that experiment, God, if you want to let me experiment with that one to see if more money does bring more problems. But as we kind of wrestle with this, let's go ahead and just hear what Jesus had to say. This is from Luke 12, so this is where we're going to be primarily camped today. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I don't think of myself as greedy. Probably none of us do. And as we're thinking about it, so it's not like Jesus is telling you you're greedy or me, I'm greedy. But as I think about this passage, probably the vast majority of people that he's talking to have less than I do. And Jesus is telling people who have less, probably, to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. So even though maybe that doesn't quite track, like I don't have to be on my guard against greed. I'm not greedy. That's other people. Let's go ahead and hear Jesus out. What do you think? Should we hear him out? He came back from the dead, so let's hear him out. So next he goes and he says, so he tells a story, he tells a parable. This is from Luke 12, 16. So he tells a story right after telling people, watch out for all kinds of greed. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. A little bit similar parable of the sower. So this man, he's got a great harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, hey, you have plenty. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I'm guessing that if the audience at this point, they're probably thinking the same thing I would be. Sign me up. That sounds great. Like, this sounds like the way to do things. Like, this guy's doing all the right things. He's working hard. He's saved up for retirement. He has enough, and he's got it. Maybe he's retiring early. That sounds great. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm saving up for retirement. And I'll tell you what, if my retirement account had enough for me to take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry, this would be my last sermon. Maybe. I don't know. We'd see. But I don't have to deal with that question because I don't yet. It seems like a story of like what to do. This is the example of how to live life. This is sometimes they're cautionary tales. Sometimes they're happily ever after, aspirational tales. This to me sounds like aspiration. This is how you do things. And then I think Jesus it set him up for a twist. Because then he said, he brings in a twist here, Luke 12:20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." And it's a little bit confusing here. And I was thinking about, it gave me a memory of being a teenager, and I had kind of a crazy orthodontist. My mom and dad can back me up on this. He was this crazy guy. But I stared. Like, I remember staring, and I found the picture that I stared at while they're working on my teeth. And it said this. It was a picture of this old cowboy. He's drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. And he says, "I spent most of my money on beer and women. The rest, I reckon, I just wasted." Now, it makes sense to me why God might call this kind of person a fool. He admits he wasted most of what he had. And then it's debatable whether or not women and beer were a good use of his money. But the guy that we're talking about today didn't squander his money. He saved. He didn't squander it in wild living and wealth. It seems like he's really responsible. He's a saver. He's maybe an investor. He's done the right things. Why was he a fool? Well, according to Jesus, the problem was that he was going to die that night. And everything that he had saved for, he wasn't going to be able to use any of it. The wealth that had seemed so trustworthy as the way to take life easy and do nothing, it let him down. He'd put his trust in that wealth, and it let him down because he didn't get to enjoy it. He spent all of his life working for it, and none of it enjoying it. Now, with what Jesus said, if you notice that, did Jesus say it was a problem that he stored up money for himself? No. He didn't criticize him for storing up money for himself, maybe exclusively for himself, because the criticism was, you stored up everything for yourself and were not rich toward God. That was the problem. He wasn't rich toward God. So let's go back to Jesus and what he said. Luke 12:22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you." You know what I learned in seminary? This is what I learned. Whenever you see "therefore," you know what you do? You guys have already been to seminary, I can tell. You just go back and look at what it's there for. You guys get MDivs if you know that. That's all I learned in seminary. So what do you think is, why is it there for? You look at what's before it. What's the context? So we've been talking about the context, right? We've been talking about Jesus saying, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And then his story about the certain rich man who invested everything for himself but was not rich toward God. Therefore. So this part is connected to what he's saying about being rich toward God. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Jesus is telling people, he's indicating to his audience that if they're rich toward God, they can really count on, they can worry less. And I don't know, I'm nowhere near to a place where I can eliminate worry from my life. But I think if I trust God, I can at least worry less. Jesus' invitation, again, it's less of a rebuke about anxiety and worrying about money. He acknowledged that everybody does those things. But it's an invitation to trust. There's a name for God in the Old Testament, and it's Jehovah Jireh. And what that means is the Lord will provide. Having that attitude that God's identity as the one who will provide. And one of our questions, but those of us who follow Jesus, do we believe? Do I believe the Lord will provide for me? Do I trust? And I'd encourage everybody, if you don't follow Jesus and you're here, we want you to know we're thrilled you're here. We hope you're blessed. If you do follow Jesus, I think it's really crucial for us to wrestle with what does God call me to do? What is my relationship with money to be like? How do I store up treasures in heaven? And to prayerfully consider those things and make decisions in our heart what to do and to do them. Because that's a big part of our discipleship. A couple weeks ago, I came to this building, and I was pretty stressed. That week, I had opened up a bill, and the bill was enormously large. And I was having difficulties with the company, you know, how you call, and it's AI, and then they get, you know, pushed down, and you're on hold for a long time, and nobody, big companies where nobody can do anything to help. Well, I was going through this, I was frustrated, and then Sunday morning, because they were supposed to call me on the day before and take care of everything, and I made the mistake of waking up on Sunday morning and thinking, I'm just going to check to see if they took care of the bill like they said. Can I trust them? You know, this is about ready to come out of my bank account. Can I trust them? I said it was a mistake because I saw that they did not take care of that mistake, and it sent me into a spiral. Like, part of me was just unraveling, getting upset, and starting to think, like, everything around, like, it seemed like everything was failing. So I got here, I pulled in, and then I saw some other people who were struggling, too. I learned about some other people who were facing big bills, too. I felt the camaraderie. I was encouraged. Pastor Brandon preached about Jesus and the fish with the coin in its mouth, and that we can trust God to provide for us. And then we sang it as well. And I sang it and I meant it in that moment. So I was feeling good. I was at the church. Okay, I trust God. I go home that afternoon and I call the company back. Hour and a half later, it was not well with my soul at all. I was totally unraveled this time, and it lasted for days where it just like really had impacted me. And yet Jesus, like, he's calling and he's trying to teach us these things that are not so trustworthy. Money, like wealth, these companies, these things that we deal with where things break and things are misunderstood, things can be stolen. Me getting my hopes in that was not doing my heart any favors. What if God, Jesus is teaching here, is again less about rebuking or, you know, getting on anxiousness, and more of an invitation to trust Jehovah Jireh, that our God will provide. Jesus' brother James, he meditated on what his brother taught, and then he rewrote them in his own words. And see if you can guess where he's meditating from. And I like how he says it. So this is from James 1. The sun rises with scorching heat. So this is James 1, Jesus' brother. The sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Does that sound familiar? A little bit parable of sower, isn't it? Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Don't put your hope in riches. And then we're going to skip down, and I love this part here. Don't be deceived. What's mammon related to? Where does that word come from? What does that mean? Trustworthy. Jesus said, don't be deceived. He warned there's deceitfulness of wealth. Not that money's not important, money's not good or helpful, but don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. The economy might change like shifting shadows. Our financial situation might change like shifting shadows, but this is an invitation to trust in Jehovah Jireh, God who provides, and Jesus telling us we don't have to worry so much, that we can trust. So the question is God worthy of trust with my life? Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. The things that we have, sometimes it can get stolen, it can pass away, and in an instant, our wealth can be, we can lose it like the man, or it can be rendered meaningless through some sort of accident or crisis. And all of us are going to die. All of us, if you don't know that, sorry. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Mortality is 100% rate. Now, we believe something after that is possible, the resurrection of Jesus. That gives us hope, but we're all going to die. And I was thinking, because I actually started this when I was writing this sermon. I wrote something. I think I've preached it before. I think I've taught it before. And I was going to start again. And then I was doing some fact-checking, and I realized it was wrong. So, yeah, I'm sure I've said lots of things that are wrong from up here. But so, fortunately, this time I fact-checked it instead of just said it. But that I was going to say, maybe you've heard this too, and maybe it's debatable, but Jesus talked more about money than any other subject. And according to the research that I did, it's not true. But it made me remember being in seminary, and we had this assignment where we needed to read all four Gospels back to back to back to back and answer the question, what was the central theme of Jesus' teaching? I remember hearing my New Testament professor and thinking, like, you think I'm going to come up with that one? But then when I read all four Gospels back to back to back to back, there was one thing that stood out to me. Fortunately, it was the answer he was looking for, too. So I passed that assignment, but it's something that I've remembered, and I think maybe this is the main thing that Jesus has talked about. But let's do a drum roll for that. What's the central theme of Jesus' teaching? The kingdom of God. And I think that's where all of this leads. There's competition. Jesus acknowledged there's competition. Who's going to master us? Will it be mammon or will it be God? Because after we do the money thing and then it goes into worrying, then the next place it leads is the kingdom of God. Don't let these things distract you from the kingdom of God. So Luke 12:29. So we're skipping down a few. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. As we close this thing out, talking about being rich, there was a guy from Indiana named Rich who wrote songs, and he would reflect on the words of Jesus and James. And he wrote this song that I absolutely love. And there are lyrics coming from these verses we've wrestled with that says, the stuff of earth competes for the allegiance. I owe only to the giver of all good things. If I stand, let me stand on the promise that God will pull, you will pull me through. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So as the worship team comes back up, I invite you to just listen to this song because it's about the kingdom of God that is unseen. What if there's a real world that's deeper than the world that we experience now? What if the stuff that Jesus talked about is true and the kingdom of God is real and strong and there is a God that we can trust in who will pull us through no matter what happens? I invite you to listen to this song. Receive this blessing before we sing. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.